If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
If this is your first time listening to Witch Police Radio, you should turn back now. This is not a regular episode of the podcast. This is the second part of my multi-part series of favorite local albums of 2024. The previous episode had numbers 20 through 16, and this one is going to continue with numbers 15 through 11, I guess. Is that math work? Yeah, 15 through 11. And yeah, so this is a follow-up to that episode. Every year, I kind of go through all the stuff I listen to by local artists, which is quite a bit, and sort of figure out the 20 that I like the best. And then, so we've done the first five. Here's the second five. So to start off, first one we have here is Ripping Hammer 3. And Ripping Hammer, if you might remember Damien Purdy as being one of the first guests we had on the podcast way back in 2013 or 14. 13, I think. He was on like a double-digit numbered show, and this is 960-something, so it's been a while. But he had made this really great tape, DIY sort of solo project called Ripping Hammer. And all these years later, more than a decade later, he comes back with a follow-up, the third Ripping Hammer tape, actually. I caught up with him. It was a really cool conversation about this sort of weird project that he does and brings out every few years. And yeah, so here's a clip from my interview with Damien, aka Ripping Hammer, and a song from the record Ripping Hammer 3.
Yeah, I have a really hard time because, like, you name it, you tame it, right? Like, I kind of, like, strive to be my own genre, I guess. You know how, like, Weird Al is his own genre?
Yes.
I want to be Weirdest Al, I guess, and just, like, my own genre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, like, hard to define it. I guess this one probably has more synths on it. Yeah. That's probably like a big difference, like formally, I guess. Like, I think the feelings kind of came from the same sort of place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that was sort of maybe a better way of approaching the question is what are you using to create this? Because, I mean, it does sound more electronic, and that's obviously, I'm guessing it's the synth element there that comes across pretty strongly. But how are you making this record? What are you playing on it?
I guess I primarily used an Arturia Microbrute. There's a Yamaha keyboard on there. There's a little bit of Microkorg. There's this like voice otter like thing that I made at like a workshop.
Oh, cool.
There's like a Roland voice changer. There's, I don't know. There's just like all this random stuff I just buy and then I like sell. If anybody wants to buy my Microbrute, you can have it. I'm selling it. Just because I kind of like this idea. Like I read like an interview with Tom Waits once where he was like, I purposefully try not to know how to like play what is in front of me because it's like more interesting that way.
Yeah
you like there's more detours, like more like fuck ups and that kind of stuff. So yeah, like this one is just like I guess more synths because I felt like it, I guess. I don't know, I just got, yeah, my guitar hurts my fingers and like I never like really like learned how to play it very well. I can like only kind of do like bar chords and stuff.
Yeah.
So like I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm again being a dabbler, I'm not a musician in any sort of way.
I like that approach, though, of just sort of learning something just enough to be able to play it passably and come up with some kind of sound out of it and then move on to the next thing. I think it's a good strategy.
Yeah, thank you.
I wish more people would do that, actually. A lot of people are so focused on the technical aspects of mastering something, and that's great. I mean, when you hear someone who is an absolute wizard at whatever instrument, it's always exciting. Yeah. But I mean, I think that more people should take the approach of everything is temporary, just put something out, whatever it is, and then move on to something completely different. That's We don't have enough of that.
Oh, well, I guess I'm doing my part. I live to serve. So, you've made music before, Sam.
Yes.
Good music.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's, you know, questionable, just, but yeah.
Okay, well, man, okay, I'm trying to give you a compliment, man. Are you bad with compliments? Some people are very bad with compliments. Okay, it doesn't matter, like, how well you know it, too. Like, I kind of feel like when you, like, play something, it just sounds good to you. Like, you almost don't even know where it came from.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It just seems like kind of, like, did I just do that? Like, where did that, like, come from? So it's like, I don't know. It's just, like, kind of more being in tune with your creative self or whatever that is than, like, mastering, shredding or whatever. But
yeah.
There's a place for shredding, but that's not for me, you know?
For sure. Yeah. And at those moments, I guess you want to have those recorded as much as you can, right? You want to just hopefully, out of all the things you're messing around with, one or two of those really kind of, not triumphant moments, but like, these things that are just really, really what you're trying to do out of it. So with that in mind, like, are you recording sort of all of these experiments you're doing and just sort of figuring out what works? Or like, how are these structured? How are these pieces of music structured?
I don't know. I guess I just like record stuff, and then if I listen back to it and like it starts to speak to me in like some kind of way, like it has a conversation, say, hey, I need something else. I'm like, okay, well, I'll give you something. Then it says like, yo, I need something else again. I'm like, yeah, well, okay, I guess. And then when like it's done and the conversation is like kind of finished, then I know it's over.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, it's just like kind of, yeah, it's a bit of a process for sure. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, like, you know, you have this tape out now. And like you said as well, it's a physical release. It's something that's kind of tangible out in the world. And tapes are having a comeback, which is great to see. As someone who never stopped listening to them, I always appreciate getting new tapes.
Well, that's it. Hammer Time is over.
Next up is the album Where the Rivers Do by singer-songwriter Sam Singer. That is a tongue twister. A lot of alliteration there. Singer-songwriter Sam Singer. Anyway, it's a really cool album. It's mixes folk with soul, with indie rock, with a bunch of other stuff, including klezmer, which is kind of cool. You don't see that showing up sort of in conversation that often, really, in 2024. We did an interview in the summer, shortly after the album had been released. Online, anyway. He did a big release show sort of later in the year to formally launch it, I guess. But shortly after it came out online on Bandcamp and elsewhere, we talked about, you know, the process of recording this album, collaborating with the other musicians who play on the record, and sort of his preferences between solo songs or full band songs. And it was a really interesting conversation with a guy who's doing cool stuff, has a very unique and distinct singing voice. And yeah, so check it out. Here's a clip from the interview as well as the song. How long do these things need to percolate before you actually put them on record? And I imagine this may or may not have been influenced by the pandemic too, just coming out of that, depending how old the songs are, I guess.
Right. This is probably the quickest turnaround I've ever had for any songs of mine. Any release of mine, because I wrote all the songs in 2022 and early 2023 a little bit.
Okay.
And then recorded them the next year. And then last year, July, and then put it out this June. But I went on like a bit of a trip in spring of 2022 with kind of the intention to come back home with at least the start of an album.
Okay.
Or like, you know, I would have liked to have it written, but it's probably better that it took some time to write some of those songs. I feel like right now I'm kind of working through this process of catching up to saw, like, this release aside, like, what I'm kind of working on next is like catching up on songs that I kind of let slip away.
Okay.
And so
are there a lot of those?
There's a lot of them, and I feel like I really lost my train of thought there. I just played basketball before this, so I'm pretty like worn out, but I'm trying to drink this coffee to keep me alert, you know. But
right on. No, it's all good. I was going to say, with this record, what has the reception been so far? I know it's still quite new, but I mean, people have obviously heard it. You've, like you said, you've done a bit of touring and stuff recently. What's the reaction to these songs?
I think people like them. At shows, people seem to be very happy, which is nice.
It's a good thing, yeah. And,
I wouldn't say there's any like real downers on the album. Not that that's a bad thing, but other than that, I don't know. People have told me they liked it. It's getting some, I don't know, played on like places where I've never had my music played before, which is really cool.
That is
cool. Sirius XM or CBC. I've never really had my music out there like that before, so it's kind of cool that it's getting out there, and hopefully, you know, the cool thing is it'll be out forever. You never know like how these songs, I don't know where they end up. It's kind of weird. Like I've had songs that one song in particular I wrote when I was like 18. And then last year, it like found me in such a weird way, like through somebody else. I don't know. It just made me think it's weird. Like these things that something I could write when I'm 18 finds me when I'm 25, now 26. And so this album, you know, it's really young. So hopefully it can keep, doing something. It's doing what it's got to be doing.
Yeah.
Which is just being out for people to hear. And hopefully like one person will be like, this is awesome.
Well, that's what you want though, right? I mean, because it's released now. It's out of your control. People will find it from anywhere now because the internet sort of facilitates that. So yeah, like you're right. I think a song that you could write a song on this record that 10 years from now someone discovers and uses it for something, and then it gets a whole new life. It's this weird kind of perpetual existence of all this stuff is kind of cool.
I think so.
And it's all over now. And it's all over now.
it's all by the book. So they say when the sky is clear, I never had the heart to look, and it all isn't sad, though it lies in your hand, but it runs too fast to catch, so you let it pass.
Next is an artist who was on the podcast in 2023, but I actually didn't follow up in 2024. I probably should have. The artist is Fold Paper, and this is an EP called 4TO, which is a really good slice of post-punk. And Fold Paper, you know, from sort of the beginning, first single onwards, has been generating a lot of buzz in Winnipeg, getting a lot of attention here and elsewhere. That is very well deserved. And so because I didn't have an interview about this particular EP, I did have a clip from the 2023 interview, in which we talk at length about sort of defining post-punk and what the appeal of that genre is. Check it out. Here's a clip and a song. What's the appeal of that stuff to you? Like, what is it about that kind of music that hits you and inspires you?
Oh my gosh. Man, where do I start? So the first thing I can say about that is that there's so many angles to post-punk that you can take that, you know, you can do whatever and call it post-punk and people will be like, yep, that's post-punk. Let's take it.
Yeah, it's loosely defined, right? It's hard to pin down sort of what post-punk is, yeah.
Exactly. And that's really, really what I love about it. And I mentioned all these bands from before, and when you listen to these bands, they're so different. So different in their own ways, but then they fall under that umbrella of post-punk. And that being said, you know, some of these bands are like, yeah, you know, we're post-punk, but then you can also call us indie rock, you can also call us math rock, but you know, they will still latch onto that label as post-punk. And yeah, it's just such a free moving genre, and like you said, super loosely defined. And that's really what the first thing that I loved about it. And then just being able to be like, okay, it came so, like when I wrote music, it came so easily, you know, to write stuff like that and be like, yeah, I think this would be called post-punk. So that was another reason. That's another reason I really fell in love with the genre, is just, I had a natural inkling to be able to write stuff like that, write like edgy stuff, write syncopated, in a syncopated way. And another thing I love about it is the fact that you don't have to sing too much at all. And you can only say that about a few genres, but post-punk is one of them, man. I talk my way through these songs, and it's such a good feeling, because as much as I love to sing, I don't have a great singing voice. But yeah, just say what you want to say, any way you want to yell it, scream it, whisper it, and it flows so well with it.
Right, there's not a tight guideline of how you're supposed to do vocals. It's as open-ended as the genre is.
Exactly.
One of the things that I, over the course of doing this show, I tend to, like, over certain time periods, get stuck on certain questions that I become obsessed with and keep asking people. And I have one now that I've been kind of bothering people with the past few months. And it really is kind of related to what we were talking about sort of that open-endedness of the genre. And it's like, I have this theory that may or may not be true, but the way that music is consumed nowadays, right? I mean, most people are streaming. Most people have access to just like the entire world's history of music at a click of a button. Do you think that availability of everything all at once without kind of having it contextualized, do you think that makes it easier for people to get into genres that maybe wouldn't have been put in front of them in the first place? Just the idea that there's no timeline. Music is just all in one big bin and you can just grab from it. Whereas, you know, when I was growing up, it was very much, you go to the record store, you look in the right section, you want to buy punk LPs, you go to the, you know, punk tapes, you go to the punk section, and then you go over to the, you know, the country section if you're a country fan. But it wasn't just all presented on a platter, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think you have it exactly right. Having all that music and all this content and, you know, all this information available does make it super easy for people to be able to latch on. And when you said that, the first thing I thought about was TikTok.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people might not be able to relate, but I'm on TikTok all the time, and a lot of, you know, people are. And I've heard of like so many bands and so many like artists who have had this like rejuvenation just because all of this stuff is so available to you. And kids, like teenagers, will latch onto bands like I can't remember this band, Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
Freaking Fleetwood Mac, one of their songs got huge on TikTok. There's a band that our second show, Full Paper's second show, we opened for Holy Fuck.
Yeah.
And they've been around for so long, and they also just had this like re-up on TikTok of one of their songs going crazy because it was put on there's a animated show, and you know, that show went crazy on TikTok, and this song was behind it, and people slashed onto that song. So like, yeah, you're exactly right. People have all this music available to them. So like, I keep saying kids, and by kids, I mean like young folks.
Totally. You know, I know what you mean. Yeah.
They're able to, you know, latch onto older things, older bands, older genres who, that may have like, I don't want to say died, but maybe not as popular, but then they give it that rejuvenation. They give it that re-up.
Yeah.
And same for like, you know, older folk and, you know, new age music, you know what I'm saying? It works all the same way. So you're exactly right. Having all that information just makes it easy to latch onto different genres. Well, yeah.
And the reason I thought about it with you too, and talking about post-punk, is that post-punk, I mean, officially, I guess, technically, post-punk is this genre that lasted for a relatively short amount of time, you know, in, the early 80s, and then kind of, you know, mainstream popular music moved on to something different, and something different. But now, post-punk, like everything else, is just kind of eternal, because it's just there, right? So it's the idea that you would have discovered this in, you know, the 2010s or whatever, is not that weird anymore. Whereas 10 years ago, it might have seemed like, how did you find that, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's exactly how I, you know, got onto to bands like, you know, Women and Preoccupations and other bands like that. It's just like, it's all available there. And as much as like, there's all this mainstream music, you know, people like me who have the love for music can do those deep dives and, you know, find all these bands and stuff. So, yeah, exactly right. That's how I made my connections with that genre. And, and I love how you mentioned, like, you know, post-punk was, you know, it wasn't that long. It happened
a blip.
For a short period
a blip
of time.
On the timeline,
exactly. And then I think what bands like mine and bands like, you know, Stuck and Unschooling are calling it, and it's got that revivalism. So they're saying post-punk revival. So we're trying to revive it, trying to bring it back, trying to, you know, you know, bring it back to the forefront of music and stuff. We're making it cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're making it something that's like easily attainable.
I hit work back.
Next up is the new EP by Winnipeg's premier Ukrainian folk punk fusion act, Zrada. And so this was the second time I'd had this band or members of this band on the show. And if you're unfamiliar, they kind of combine, you know, traditional Ukrainian folk music and folk music from that part of the world with punk rock attitude, with metal, with some really heavy stuff mixed in. So it's kind of a cool combination. And this new record, The Old Ways, it sort of marks a turning point for the band in that a few key members left, started a technical death metal band, which, you know, makes complete sense given how heavy some of Zrada's stuff is. And they were replaced by a couple of Franco-Manitobans, which gives it a completely different sort of vibe. You still have the Ukrainian folk tradition in a lot of the songs that they're working on sort of going forward, but you also have the Franco-Manitoban vibes, which is a very different sound, despite sharing some instruments. So here's a clip from the interview I did, and that interview came out it was a bit earlier this year. Came out back in February, near the end of February of 2024.
For context, we recently restructured the band entirely. So we lost two members about a year ago, just over a year ago, who started their own side project of a crazy death metal, I guess they'd call it. It's called Forms, if you want to look them up.
Cool.
It's pretty technical death metal, I think. So we were kind of like left not sure what we should do. We had this unrecorded material that we had worked with them on, and then kind of like had discussions with them and the band and kind of coaxed them to come back and help us record these tracks and put this EP together. And then in the midst of doing all of this, we kind of started piecing the band together with some new members. Dan, which is one of them that we're very, very blessed to have playing with us. It's been really awesome. So it's kind of interesting, like with this project, with The Old Ways, the EP that we just put out, it's kind of like this, it's called The Old Ways because it's kind of putting the cap on this era of the band and the way that it sounded in this kind of heavier, froggier kind of thing. And then while we were recording that, piecing together this new piece, we're now a 7-piece band, and like working on the old material with it, but also starting to jam on new stuff and cool. See which way it goes. So it's been a very cool experience. So yeah, we're kind of here talking about the old ways and the new ways. And yeah, Dan, if you want to.
Well, yeah, and Dan, as I alluded to earlier, I mean, you know, you've been on the show before, but it was almost a decade ago, I think, now. So maybe reintroduce yourself and then what your role is in this reconfigured version of this band.
Sure, yeah. It's great to be back on. I love following all of the nitty-gritty that you get into, Sam, with the scene here. It's so sweet. And it's been, I think it's almost been a decade. It's like 2015.
Something like that, yeah. It's been a while.
Or 2016 was like, I think maybe the second time I was on, which is ridiculous. You know, what time doth fly and the shred keeps shredding, you know? So I'm stepping in as one of the new additions to Zrada. Andre approached me, I guess like 6 months ago or something along those lines, maybe not quite so long ago, with the idea that there was going to be like a new iteration of this project. And, knowing that there was going to be a booking for Festival de Voyageur coming up and wanted to flesh out that lineup. And I mean, this has been like one of my favorite Winnipeg bands for as long as I can remember. There's been like, I think two or three shows that I've seen. A couple of them were at the Times Change specifically, where it absolutely blew like the lid off the place. And I just didn't know that this kind of righteous combination of like, you know, ethno folk rock with just like a little peppering of prog existed in the world, and let alone like right in the same city. So it was just like, and it's got, I don't know, weirdly like a dream come true to get a chance to shred with these lads, because I've kind of like set down my heavier axes in exchange for like a banjo and a mandolin. I've been making like folk music for a living for the last decade or so, you know, like playing a lot of bluegrass and bluegrass adjacent old time music. But before that, I toured with a metal band called Entre Parenthèses with my brothers, and I was a drummer for that band. And like, I still eat metal for breakfast. It's like my go-to concentration music, you know. Yeah. Like, if I need to relax, I put on like the techiest, deathiest stuff I can find, and it just like brings me to my happy place. So this project is like kind of a perfect combination of the two, of like, you know, the folk aspect, where taking like traditional Slavic style melodies and rhythms and bridging them with like a modern, heavier, edgier sound. It's I can't imagine a better drug.
Yeah, that's awesome. How do you fit in as far as the cultural side of things? Because I mean, I know, like you said, you're sort of known in Winnipeg and beyond as a folk musician. I mean, mandolin, banjo, all these instruments that are not necessarily something that you think about when you think of heavier music. But I mean, this is a band that is very much focused on traditional, like reworking traditional Slavic music, right? Do you have any kind of family background with that stuff, or are you sort of now getting like a quick quick primer on what the stories are, what the background is, and all that?
Amazing question, honestly. Just a little tidbit on my background. Like, I'm from a town called Saint Rose du Lac. It's out by Dauphin area, and Dauphin is, as some of your listeners might know, is location. It's right nearby Sillo, Ukraine, which is and there's a Ukrainian festival that happens there.
Right, right.
Every year, it's like one of the largest, like outside of Ukraine itself, and it is an absolute banger of a party. And a lot of Western Manitoba was settled by waves of like French and Ukrainian immigrants. And so every second town in the part of Manitoba where I grew up, it's like two adjacent. It's like literally one after another. It's like French, Ukrainian, French, Ukrainian, the entire way out there, you know? So like they're all in of the, you know, Catholic bent.
Right.
Some are more Orthodox than others. So, but every little town has either like, you know, just like a traditional church or that onion top, and you always know driving into town what you're getting into. Either it's going to be meat pie or it's going to be pierogies, you know.
Right so you had experience, you experienced it all, like as a neighbor basically to it.
Totally. So it was entirely peripheral, ultimately. So I have a lot of pals that are steeped in the tradition, and every time there was the festival, I'd always go and check out the dancing and the traditional music. But I never played any of it because it wasn't really my bag at the time. But now, like as an adult, having delved through like series of like, you know, Irish folk music and a lot of English stuff, and going back to like my own cultural roots of like you know, fiddle music from the prairies, delving into this kind of stuff, it is a bit of like it's a quick kind of just like drinking like a power juice from a blender, you know, like having all of these amazing melodies that are in modes that I'm not necessarily used to. Also, but like me and the other lads, like the other new newcomers, are all Francophones.
Okay.
Also, I'm like, you know, we've got our own tradition of you know, fiddle music, and we access like a certain how would you say, like a bag of tricks, you know, like certain number of scales and chords.
Sure.
Like my fingers are used to playing. But all of like this Slavic stuff has got these just absolutely jagged melodies that are just so foreign to my fingers and to my ears. So righteous. That's really, really stretching my brain and my abilities. It's like the thing that I'm just so, so excited to play. And having the fact that this group has existed for so long and they're such consummate professional musicians.
Yeah.
It just, the initial iteration of it is already so tight. So like, having such a like steady platform to learn on is kind of like makes a challenging task just joyful.
And finally, this is an EP by an artist who's been on the show a number of times, but he actually wasn't on the show in 2024 to talk about this record. He was on the show in 2024 to talk about another record he was doing as part of a group. But anyway, the EP is called None Taken, and it's by Yai, local hip-hop artist. Like I said, he's been on the show a number of times in a number of different guises, and with Turn the Gun or Park Lake Setting, and he's obviously known for his work with Peanuts and Corn. And yeah, this is just sort of a little EP that almost seems like a bit of a preamble to something bigger. I'm not sure if that's the goal, but it has sort of the vibe of like just like a taste test. Can you get ready for the real thing? And it's really good though. I mean, you know, Yai is always a really great lyricist, and this EP is no different. So I don't have an interview clip because the last time he was on the show talking about his own stuff would have been 3 or 4 years ago. But we're going to go right into a song from Yai's None Taken, and stay tuned for the next episode to hear my next five as we get closer and closer to my favorite album of the year.
Potentially, we'll leave the table set and picture on the centerpiece. I'll still be there for when you need me. You can send for me. Replay it over in my head, but still can't believe it till we reconnect again. Eventually, potentially, we'll leave the table set and picture on the centerpiece. I'll still be there for when you need me. You can send for me. Replay it over in my head, but still can't believe it till we reconnect again. Eventually, potentially. And I proceed, least I thought, had to make peace, an act of grief. Toughest thing, been through indeed, had the belief. Put in, then you get what you read, to a degree. They react, this a relief, but not for me. Still love you unconditionally. But there's a reason that we set a boundary. Being on the receiving end of what's around. Believe me when I say don't know a thing about. But we'll family give you space until you figure out. We'll leave the table set and picture on the centerpiece. I'll still be there for when you need me, you can send for me. Replay it over in my head, but still can't believe it till we reconnect again. Eventually, potentially, we'll leave the table set and picture on the centerpiece. I'll still be there for when you need me, you can send for me. Replay it over in my head, but still can't believe it till we reconnect again. Eventually, potentially.